Good morning. Let's enter into a time of worship as we hear the prelude for the chime choir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chime Choir, for those wonderful songs. And we welcome all of you this morning on this first Sunday of Advent. We always look forward to the season of Christmas and the season of Advent, and we welcome you on this first Sunday of Advent. Announcements this morning are found in your bulletin, and Earl this morning has an announcement to make.
Good morning, everyone. Just a reminder that there'll be Christmas caroling today. If you want to join us this afternoon, we'll be leaving from the church here right after lunch. We're having a lunch downstairs. And then the 15th is our community Christmas caroling. So we need more people to come and sign up for that. If you like to sing or want to go along singing, if you can't sing, you want to go along anyway, that's great. Come on out. It's the 15th, 5:30 to 7 here at the church. We'll be going through the community and singing for several people. Okay? Adam, have a good day.
Thank you, Earl. We have, Rachel and I have one announcement to make also on December 16th, which is a Sunday. There's a fellowship time at our house. I call it an open house. She calls it a fellowship time. But you're welcome to come to that. What is the time for that, Rachel?
2 to 4.
From 2 to 4, okay. Do we have any other announcements this morning before we enter into our time of worship? Let's enter into our time of worship as we hear have the Advent reading and the Advent singing this morning.
Advent is a time to wait.
We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield.
During Advent, we wait for the light in the darkness.
We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield.
During Advent, we wait for freedom from captivity.
We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield.
During Advent, we wait for comfort in sorrow.
We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield.
During Advent, we wait for power in weakness.
We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield.
This morning we light the first candle. The first candle reminds us that as we wait upon the Lord, God's light never ceases to shine. God's will never ceases to unfold, and God's grace never ceases to be felt. As we begin the journey of Advent, may we learn to wait upon the Lord with hopeful expectation by celebrating all God has done and anticipating all he will do.
Morning light.
Let's stand for the opening hymn, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. Father, we come to you this morning with grateful hearts. We thank you for all the blessings you've given to us. Thank you for the excitement we start to feel as we enter into the first Sunday in Advent. Father, we know that we are rich with so many blessings, and we give you thanks for them. We pray that you'll be with the sick and the needy of our number, for there are many who are hurting various afflictions and illnesses, some in the hospital, some recuperating at home, and others that are here and yet are hurting as well. And we know the hurts are not always just physical, Father. Sometimes there's tensions and conflicts in the family. There's financial pressures. There's pressures at school, pressures as we engage in various activities with sports and at work. And wherever we are, we know that there's conflicts and concerns that each one of us have this morning, but we raise them to you. And we know that through you, all things are, our load is lightened, and all things will turn out much better. And we thank you for that. We thank you for the hope and the assurance we have this morning through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. At this time, we'll have the children's story.
All right. Who knows? What is this? What are these symbols?
A police.
Does anybody know what these symbols are?
I know one of them.
Apple pie symbol.
Apple pie symbols?
The top one is the Girl Scouts.
A man with a
Yes, the bottom one is the Boy Scouts. You got it. So, the Girl Scouts and the Boy Scouts have a motto, and that motto is to be prepared. Now, okay, so we need to be prepared. Today is a very special day. Today is the first Sunday of Advent, and we have started a countdown to Christmas. There are many things that people do to get ready for Christmas. So what kind of things do we do to get... Decorate. There you go, number one.
Tree.
Number two, you got to get your tree, and then you decorate it, right? Yes.
Do Christmas lights.
Praise God. Very good.
Put up the Christmas lights.
Put up the Christmas lights. What else you got to do?
Put up the tree.
Put up what?
A bow.
A bow. Yes, you need bows up. Put up trees. How about reefs?
Ornaments.
Stockings. That's another one. Who has Elf on the Shelf?
I do.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
My Elf on the Shelf is on my sleigh that I built.
It is. How about you, Ella? Anything that we need to get ready for Christmas?
Get your stockings ready.
The manger scene. You got to do the nativity.
The decorations.
Decorations. Besides decorations, does your mom cook?
Hey, listen.
Does your mom or a grandma or somebody cook on Christmas for you?
No.
No. You go hungry on Christmas? Oh, my goodness.
No,
I bet you do not.
Cookies at Christmas.
See, you got to do some baking. You make cookies, right?
I make cookies with my family.
There you go.
With my papa and grandma.
Yes, honey. Make cookies before Christmas. That's right. So, while we are getting ready for Christmas, there is something else that we must be prepared for as well. So, Brooke is going to read our scripture. Okay, it's from Matthew 24, verse 42. Let's see if we can do it. The third line.
Right there. Keep awake, therefore, you do not know on what day your Lord is coming.
So keep awake, because you don't know when Jesus is coming. Does anybody know when Jesus is coming back? No, no one does. So what do you need to do? Stay awake. Yes, honey.
When it's time for him to come down and see us.
Yeah, that's right. He is going to come back, right? Jesus rose from the dead, and he's going to come back one day and get all of his believers. Now, what's it mean to be a believer? Believe in who?
God.
God and?
Jesus,
yes. Everyone that believes in Jesus and accepts him in his heart gets to go back with him when he comes back. So we need to be prepared.
Tell me something.
We don't know where he's going to land. You are right. We don't know. We don't know even the time, right? But we do know he's coming back. So we have to be prepared. And one of the things to be prepared is you tell your friends.
Question.
What is a question, honey? Y'all are an awesome group today. We're just wow. Right? Yeah. All right. So let's do our prayer, because it's fun and exciting to wait for Christmas, but we also need to wait for Jesus coming back to you. Okay. So here we go. Dear Father, we love this season of the year. We love the preparation for the celebration of the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us also remember that He is coming again, and that You have told us to be prepared. Amen. All right, my friends, so what do? Be prepared. Stay awake, right? Okay. Sleep is important too. Yes, you are right. Sleep and then be awake. How's that? Okay, go back to your seats. Have a rock and roll day.
As we prepare for the offering, I wanted to mention a couple statistics I read a few weeks ago. Sometimes we get discouraged with our personal finances. We look around and we think people are doing better than we are, and that's typically not the case. And we should never do that. But if we do want to compare ourselves to someone else, we should compare them to the world, not the United States. A person needs assets of just $4,200 to be among the wealthiest 50% of the world. And, of course, assets are what you have minus what you owe. A person needs assets worth $93,710 to be among the top 10% of the world. Basically, on the lower level of the spectrum, 64% of the world's adult population has a net worth below $10,000. And many of them struggle not knowing whether they should go out to eat or not, but not knowing if they even have enough to eat. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Lord, for the privileges and abilities that you've given to us to work and to earn a living, and to give our offering this morning. We pray that what we give, say, and do is all pleasing to you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At this time, the children can go to Children's Church. We will take the morning offering, and we will sing the offertory hymn, Away in the Manger.
I want to thank the choir and Earl for preparing this important song today in the first Sunday of Advent. And of course, we always appreciate Barb, our accompanist, and special thanks also to Victoria Sanchez for playing the flute in this song this morning. In your bulletins, you'll see a list of names that we need to remember in prayer. I want to add a couple more that we need to remember in prayer. Ken Wagner is currently in New York Hospital. He had an incident this week with internal bleeding, but they got that taken care of. He still is in the York Hospital, Wellspan, planning on coming home probably today or tomorrow, so keep him in prayer. Also, remember Jennifer Hostetter. She had surgery a week or so ago, and she is home recovering from surgery and healing up. So keep those folks in prayer, along with the ones who are on the list. And you can see in your bulletin, too, that this week we always pray for a particular church in our district. And this week we're praying for the Paxton Church of the Brethren, the Paxton Church of the Brethren. And this week the Amwell Church of the Brethren is praying for us. Let's come to our God for our morning prayer. Let's bow our heads this morning. God, as we come to you in the season of Advent, we wait anxiously, Lord, for the coming of Jesus Christ. Just like the wise men and the shepherds who are waiting for Jesus to come, we anxiously, Lord, wait for your coming. Lord, in this time of the year, there's so much going on with Christmas season. But we pray, Lord, that the season of Advent, you would help us to prepare for our spiritual lives, prayer for the coming of Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to not remember the main reason for the season, which is the coming of Jesus Christ, who came to earth, Lord, to die for our sins. Lord, we thank you for that eternal life and free gift that we have through Jesus Christ. We pray for the many people right now, Lord, who are recovering from illnesses, Lord God. We lift up Kenny Wagner this morning as he's recovering from internal bleeding. We're grateful that they got that taken care of. But we pray your continual strength and healing for Ken and be with Joyce during this time as well. We also lift up Jennifer this morning for your healing touch to be upon her, Lord, as she recovers from surgery. Be with Jennifer and Chris and the family during this time of recovery. We pray for the many people, Lord, who are in the nursing homes and who are sick, Lord, who are faithful members, been faithful members here. We lift them to you, Lord, to thank you for who they are, Lord, and give them, Lord, your special touch, Lord, at this time of the year. We pray for our church, Lord, as we celebrate this Christmas season. Help us to be the light of Jesus Christ to our community here. Pray for the special needs in our community, Lord, for all the people, Lord, who come to our sharing cupboard. Lord, that this would be, Lord, an outreach, and Lord, that you would send them, Lord, your blessings during this time of the year. Help us, Lord, to be the people that you want us to be as a church, as we represent the light of Jesus Christ. We pray for our nation and for our leaders in Congress right now. We also remember and lift up a former President George Bush who passed away. Thank you for his service to our country, Lord, and lift up the family and the nation, Lord, as we celebrate, as we go through this loss. We pray for the many people, Lord, who are traveling in this Christmas season, that you give them safe traveling mercies, Lord God. We lift up this morning the Paxton Church of the Brethren as we pray for this church this week. We pray, Lord, for their outreach, for the ministry. We lift up the pastor and the family, Lord. Send them, Lord, your blessings and strength and guidance as they shepherd this church, Lord. We pray now that you would be with us as we look into your scripture text this morning, as we look into your word, that will bring us understanding of who you are. And we pray all these things in the name of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Turn with me to our scripture text today, taken from Psalm 25, verses 1 through 10. Psalm 25, verses 1 through 10. This is one of many psalms of King David. Title of the message this morning is Waiting for God. Hear the word of the Lord from Psalm 25, 1 through 10. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without a cause. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he teaches sinners in the way. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. May God add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for blessing us with your word. Pray that we would always be open to hear what you have to say to us in your word. Pray that you guide every word that I speak, Lord, in the meditation of my heart, that Jesus Christ would be uplifted. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this is a time of year when everyone is anxiously waiting for Christmas to come. We all wait for those good things to come, like Christmas presents. I can remember one of my favorite Christmas presents that I got when I was a child at Christmas time. It was an H.O. train. I got it when I was 6 years old. And ever since then, ever since I got that as a child, I always anxiously waited for that wonderful time of the year. We wait for Christmas to come. But this morning, I want us to talk about what it really means to wait on God. I want you to think about this question as I ask you this, and that is, how good are you at waiting on God? Well, one of the things that I've noticed over the years is that it seems like we're less and less patient people. We don't want to wait. I remember the differences between the doctor's waiting room when I was a child compared to waiting rooms today in hospitals and doctor's offices. I remember the waiting room of my old dentist's office when I was a kid. His name was Dr. Richmond, old-time dentist. And the waiting room was a small room with four walls and no windows.
There was only one door, and that led into the dentist's office. The chairs in the waiting room were hard, no sofas, just hard chairs. And the only entertainment that you had was a Newsweek magazine. Today, waiting rooms have changed. We have receptionists who tell you how much longer you have to wait. You have multiple TVs to watch so you can watch your favorite program. Some have snack machines, restrooms, and even blankets for those people who fall asleep while you're waiting in their waiting room. In other words, doctors' offices are doing their best to try to make your waiting more comfortable. Now think about that. We are people who have a hard time waiting. When you walk into Walmart, we no longer see cashiers. We see scan and go. Scan and go. I think that's an interesting terminology. It just seems like we're just, you know, quick people who just want to get out of there. And, you know, when I think about that, I'm thinking, okay, where do you want to go that's so important? You know, we have scan and go. But then we read in today's scripture text the words of the psalmist who has learned the secret of waiting on God. Look at Psalm 25, verse 3. David says, "Indeed, let no one who waits on you, God, be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without a cause." Verse 5. David says, "For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day." Now think about what David meant when he said, "You are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day." What David is really saying here is that when you and I wait on God, God is going to be worth your wait. He's going to be worth your wait. His answer will be worth your wait, no matter what you're facing. And I've got to think about this. What kind of things do we wait for? What are the things we wait for? With any kind of waiting that we do, there's always a purpose. And I got to thinking about that. What was David's purpose for waiting on the Lord? Well, he was waiting on the Lord because of his enemies. He was waiting on the Lord to lead him to victory over his enemies. In other words, there was a divine purpose for David's waiting on God. And the same way with us. With any kind of waiting we do on God, there needs to be a reason. There needs to be a divine reason for our waiting. David's waiting was his trust in God over his enemies. Look at Psalm 25, 1 to 2. He says, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me." In other words, David says to God, "I trust and believe, Lord, that you have the answer, that you have the answer to my enemies. And if that includes waiting for you, God, to answer, so be it." Now, what does David mean when he's talking about his enemies? According to the Bible translation, an enemy in the Bible is anyone or any power who refuses to submit to God's authority. That can be a person, that can be an evil power and authority. But more important, think what our enemies and our battles do to us. What do they do to us? Not so much, don't look at the situation or the person or the power. What do our enemies do to us? They become our burden, don't they? They become our burden. Our enemies weigh on our minds and hearts. But where does God fit into that? For David, he was in a constant battle with his personal enemies. One of them, as we all know, is Goliath. Goliath, the giant. David's biggest battle was against Goliath. David's answer to Goliath was, you know, okay, God, I'm trusting you because he's threatening my life. Look at 1 Samuel. Turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel 17:45. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45. And here we see that David is going up against Goliath. And we see that David put his faith and trust in the name of the Lord of hosts. But when Goliath came up to David, Goliath mocked David and said, "Come to me, and I'll give your flesh to the birds." But David wasn't afraid. Look what he said in 1 Samuel 17:45. He says to the Philistine, David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled." Notice what he told Goliath. Notice what he said to him. "I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts." That means David came to Goliath with a name, with a boss, with a head of the entire military of Israel. David believed his God was not small, but big and powerful. That says volumes to us this morning. Whatever our battle is, whatever your battle is, you need to know that the name of the Lord is fighting your battle, even when it seems like you're losing the battle. And a lot of the battle involves waiting on God, because we struggle with waiting for God to give us an answer, whether it's a test result that you're receiving or an upcoming test in school. You're wondering, you know, this is my battle. How's God going to answer it? That's what it means to put our faith and trust in God, that he is an answer. Look at Psalm 25, verse 3. Psalm 25, verse 3. He says here, "Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without a cause." That means that you should never feel ashamed to wait on God. You know, some people are ashamed about that. For example, if someone comes up to you and they say, "Well, what are you going to do about this situation? What are you going to do about your problem? What are you going to do about this trial that you're facing?" The famous question we always hear for graduates is, "What are you going to do in your future? What are you going to do after high school? What are you going to do after college?" Okay, when that happens, the Bible, David says here, you should never be ashamed to say, "You know, I'm waiting on God. I'm waiting on God to give me an answer, because I'm not really sure. I'm not really sure." You know, we could make our plans for the future. We can say what we're going to be in the future, but you know what? God might have a different answer. He might have a different way, a different path. So you should never say, "I'm ashamed." You should never say, you know, be ashamed to say, "I'm waiting on God. I'm waiting on God to give me an answer. I'm praying about the situation." Don't feel shame for putting your faith and trust in God. Now, instead, look at the opposite. David says that you should feel shame for acting treacherously. Look at that verse there again. That means when you act covertly. That means when you cover something up. When you go behind God's back. When you make decisions on your own with no thought of God at all. That's when he says you should feel ashamed. When you make plans with no thought of God at all. You say, "Well, what should I pray for then? How should I pray my situation?" Look at Psalm 25, verse 4. Psalm 25, verse 4 says, "Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths." Show me your way, teach me your paths. That means you should pray that God would show you his ways in any situation you face and how you should live your life. We see this in Scripture. David made this request to God several times in the Psalms, which means there is a message for us. Show me, God, your ways. Teach me your paths. It's a psalm of teaching. David is begging God that God would give him direction in his life in order for him to know God's ways. In order for us to know God's ways, it involves teaching. It involves having direction in your life. You know, many times people don't have any direction in their lives. Ask them, you know, what their plan is from the Lord, and they don't know. You know, think about what do you believe God's purpose is in your life? What do you believe God's purpose is in your life? And there's two passages I want us to look at which talks about how God is directing our paths. The first one is Psalm 139, verse 1 to 3. Psalm 139, verse 1 to 3, where David says, Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. So that tells us that God knows our ways and our paths. Look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah 29. This is another well-known passage. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 to 13. This is a passage that is read many times at graduations. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 through 13 says, For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Now think about that. God says, I'm giving you a future and a hope. This verse is given to our high school graduates and our college graduates. It says that we want to bless our graduates with God's blessings, and we believe that God is directing their future and giving them hope as they begin a new chapter in their lives. It's good. But here's the catch. The graduate still has to make a choice of which direction to go in their life. They have to choose which direction to go. Are they going to follow God's ways or the world's ways? You know, we can give them, you know, we can give them all the blessings. You can tell, you know, our graduates that God is directing their future. But in the end, they still have to make a choice. Will they go with God's ways? Will they follow God's paths? You know, some churches hand out Bibles to high school graduates. I think that's a wonderful thing. That's a great idea. Give them God's word. But do the graduates read their Bibles after graduation? What about ourselves? Us as adults. It applies to us as well. Are we intentionally learning God's ways and God's paths? We need to have that desire to learn. So here's the question that I want us to think about when it comes to Psalm 25. Is King David's desire your desire and my desire today? He wanted God to show him God's ways and God's paths. Is that your desire as well? Look at Psalm 25, verse 5. Psalm 25, verse 5. Says, lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. King David here was going through something so traumatic in his life that he was willing just to wait for God to rescue him. He was waiting for an answer from God. Have you ever waited for something all day? If you did, it must have been something really important and good. But there's a difference between waiting on God and waiting for your wish list. I'll give you an example. Our family moved off of our family farm when I was 10 years old, and we moved from the farm into town. And I thought it was so cool at that time that I had neighborhood kids around me. And, you know, we'd have these football games in our neighborhood. I didn't have that at the farm, and I thought this was really great to have, you know, these neighborhood kids play football. And something that I never had before. And there was this neighborhood kid who's about 4 years older than me at the time. And he would have these football games, and he'd get all his buddies together, and occasionally he would invite me to play with his buddies. And I thought that was the greatest thing. You know, here's a 10-year-old playing football with 14-year-olds. I thought this was the greatest thing, you know. And there was this one day, it was a Sunday afternoon, and there was this big football game planned in our neighborhood. He was planning this game, and I knew about this. I heard about it through the grapevine. And no one came to invite me. So I just thought I'd sit out there in a chair and, you know, one of those guys would ask me to play. I sat there for an hour. No one came up to get me. And I saw these cars, you know, driving in for this game, all these guys getting together. No one invited me. But I just sat there and I waited. I must have waited for 3 hours, just waiting for someone to get me. No one came. I waited that entire afternoon for that wonderful football game, which I never got to play. I was waiting that long. You see, that was something that was so important to me that it became something that I was waiting for on my wish list. But there's a difference between waiting for something that you want and waiting on God. Think about that. Because the Bible tells us in Isaiah 55, verse 8, God's thoughts are not your thoughts. It says, for my thoughts, God's, are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. There's a wonderful parallel between that, what David is saying. God's ways, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. And this applies to any situation that you and I might be waiting on today. Here's the difference. King David was going through his own adversity, whatever it was. We don't know what tragedy he was facing when Psalm 25 was written. But we do know that his enemies were giving him fits. And yet David did not want to fall into sin. That was the main crutch for him. It wasn't so much about his enemies. It was more about, you know, where do I stand with God? He wanted to be good with God. You know, him and God needed to be like this. That was his wish list. Everything would be fine with him, between him and God. And because of his adversity, he was asking God for salvation. That's what salvation means in this text. It means deliverance from adversity. Deliverance from hardship from his enemy. He was really asking God to rescue him. That is what salvation meant for David. His only wish was that God would rescue him from his adversity, and that God would favor him, and him and God would be like this. That's what he was willing to wait on all day for God. If you are here this morning and you're waiting on God for an answer, Psalm 25, verse 9 is your verse. He says, the humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. In other words, if you're waiting on God for an answer, you must humble yourself before him. To be humble before the Lord means to be needy. And that's not a bad thing. To be needy for the Lord is a good thing. Because it says that you don't have the answer, but you believe in faith that God does have the answer. To humble means to confess to God that you have tried your ways, but they have failed. And you have nowhere to turn, no one other to turn to other than God himself, the one who's all-knowing and all-powerful. Humble yourself before the Lord. Humble yourself before him. Place your entire trust in him today. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you are a good God. And we believe, Lord, in faith that you are a good God, that all your ways are just and fair, especially in our lives. Lord, we pray, as we anxiously wait for your coming this Advent season, that you look into our hearts. And I pray for anyone this morning who is waiting on you to answer in a struggle that they have, in an adversity, in a trial and tribulation, Lord, to speak to their hearts. Give them the trust to know that you have an answer and to follow your ways and to believe, Lord, that you have an answer. And help us always to know, Lord, that you are the one that we can rely on. We thank you, Lord, for the Savior that we have, that we can come to because we are imperfect. We are people who are impatient. But we know, Lord, that when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he will bring us to God and give us the salvation and the answers that we need. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing song tonight, this morning, is number 545, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.